We've got a full show for you. We've got a yoga festival. We've got a Fisher Poets Festival. We've got a jazz festival. And we've got an anti-art camp. Don't believe it. It's really full of art. Let's start off, since my first guest is Kristen Alsop from the Yoga Festival. Let's hear a little of the music that they're going to be, among other things, happening at the festival. Glad to have you all here. Thanks for tuning in, especially all you guests out there. This is the group, a duo called Shantala, and they have been here before, and they are back to help celebrate the Cannon Beach Yoga Festival, which is taking place not this weekend, thank goodness, but next weekend, March 1st through 3rd. And congratulations, Kristen, third annual.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm really delighted to be up here again with you.
I'm very impressed because I remember when you started this, it wasn't clear that you could pull it off.
Right. I didn't know. Yeah.
But it seems that you not only have pulled it off, but you have this huge schedule. I'm looking at the workshops with all kinds of people. And folks can buy a full festival. We don't go into prices, but where should they go?
Well, for starters, everybody should know they should go to the CannonBeachYogaFestival.com, www.CannonBeachYogaFestival.com website to get a really good, clear view of everything. And you can register right there online.
That would be terrific.
We have everything from full day passes or full festival passes. And you can even just sign up for one or two individual things now at this point. So you don't have to commit the whole weekend, but we'd love to see you.
But my goodness. So tell us about these world-class instructors, and it sounds as though this has built and found itself a place and a home.
It has. Well, fortunately, we've been incredibly fortunate to have the City of Cannon Beach, the Tourism and Arts Commission, is providing a grant to help fund this festival with the Friends of Haystack Rock. Mm-hmm. And so together, we're putting together the festival, and it's really amazing that there are these wonderful master yoga teachers that are coming to our neck of the woods, people that usually those of us who live here have to travel far and wide to actually study with. And a lot of them are my teachers. And and so that's sort of how I connected with them.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because let's introduce you, even though those of us around here, a lot of us know you already, but there are people listening all over the world. So, Kristen Alsop, you live in Cannon Beach.
I do. I live in Cannon Beach.
You didn't grow up in Cannon Beach.
No, I didn't grow up there, but we've been there for almost 30 years, so it's been a really long time that we have some very long established roots in Cannon Beach. And I now have a yoga studio there as well, and been teaching in town for about 15 years.
When did you start personally doing yoga?
You know, that's an interesting question. I actually had a student ask me that today, and I kind of look back and I think about, I feel like I've always practiced yoga. It's just been, I didn't actually know it was yoga, but it's the kind of thing that, you know, I'm a child of the 60s. There was yoga in the house. My mom was doing yoga. Her friends were doing yoga. There was yoga. And so it was just always something that happened around. And then it was something that I always felt was what I needed to do. I needed to move. I needed to stretch in order to put myself back into equilibrium. So I was really happy to find a solid practice.
And in addition to doing the yoga, though, did you train in some other profession, or did you think one day I'm going to be a yoga teacher?
Oh, no.
I pay my bills with it.
No. I'm still working on that. But I definitely didn't. It was sort of a happenstance kind of thing. It, being a yoga teacher, it takes a lot of dedication, and it's challenging to live in Cannon Beach, particularly. Mm. So we had a lot of great yoga teachers that have come through over the course of the years, and I was able to study with some great teachers, but they'd come and go. And at the last class that I was actually taking, that teacher was leaving, and she said, "Kristen, I think, you know, why don't you take over the class?"
Woo.
And that was how it happened. I went, "Really? Are you sure? I don't know. I don't think I can do it." But I didn't want to lose the community, and I didn't want to lose the opportunity to actually practice.
Sure.
So that's what happened.
That's how I started teaching folk dancing in
Astoria.
Exactly. If I don't teach it, it won't happen.
You
better make it happen.
So I had to belly up to the bar, and which is really interesting leading into that. The very next weekend, there was a yoga festival up in Seattle, and this was, they don't have it anymore, but Adil Palkavala, who's one of our teachers who's coming, he was one of the teachers that was there, and I took a full week of classes with him, and I learned so much that I was able to come down and really feel confident about putting myself in front of my friends. Actually, my students were all my friends, our community, our little
small
group that
community.
We were doing.
Yeah.
And they were very kind to me as my teeth were chattering in my first class.
Well, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm seeing, you know, a lot of people think of yoga as very esoteric. So let me just note that the gentleman that Kristen just mentioned, Adil Palkavala.
Exactly.
The beauty of the Purna power yoga. Okay, that's kind of, you know. Teaching inspirational yoga. Now here comes the next one. Hip openers, twists, and forward bends.
Yep.
Okay, folks.
Yep.
That's good for anybody. You don't have to be, you know, a meditation guru for that. And I look down and I see someone else has when, why, and how. Back bending forever. And someone else, upper body strengthening for wimps. I love this.
Yeah.
I know, you know, so this really is very accessible to anyone.
It is. It is. And it's not just for teachers, and it's not for people who have practiced for years
and
years and decades.
So beginners can get in on this?
Beginners. There are a couple of classes that under the descriptions it will say, please have a year worth of regular practice. But for the most part, the amazing thing about getting in front of master instructors, whether it be for yoga or music or dance or whatever, when you're in the room with those people, they really know how to hold the space for everybody that they're teaching. And it becomes an incredibly full and rich experience. So I recommend this to my beginning students as well as the teachers that, you know, my colleagues and whatnot.
Well, I'm seeing, and for people who are into learning more about the culture of yoga, there's also an introduction to Ayurveda and the three doshas and Kirtan,
which is what Heather and Benji of Shantala just performed.
Right. Yeah. And so will they be giving a music workshop?
They are. They're doing a workshop on Kirtan, and that was a demonstration of what we just heard. It's a call and response chanting experience, a musical experience. And so they'll be doing a workshop on Saturday, and then we'll also have an open community dance party in Kirtan that evening where
lovely.
We'll all get together
and
sing
and dance.
And
that's open to the public?
It is.
Charge, of course, but it's open to the public.
Well, and at this point, everything's open to the public.
Okay.
So you just, it's a charge to come in.
So go to the CannonBeachYogaFestival.com and check out this amazing festival with so much. Then I see someone named David Kinnon.
Yes.
Now, who would that be? That sounds like a familiar
my
name.
Wonderful brother, who is a fabulous painter and a drawing, painting and drawing instructor in Cannon Beach.
What is he going to be doing?
He's developed a program called Yoga Figure Drawing. It's sort of this a spin on the life drawing class.
Uh-huh.
So we have a beautiful model who's going to be doing yoga poses, and then he'll be instructing basically a life drawing class to those poses. And it's really fascinating because he's such an amazing, wonderful teacher as well. And he is talking about big movements and, you know, it's just really, really
fun.
So
this is a solid art class incorporating the yoga, since that's what's happening this weekend.
Absolutely.
And his sister is running it. So it's great for both of you. And our old friend Sarah Joy Marsh is back. Yoga and love. If love is our basic nature, why isn't it easier? I love that.
Yep. She's going to give this lecture with her husband.
Okay.
Actually, so it's going to be really wonderful.
So did you envision this as being so diverse at the beginning? What was your vision?
Absolutely. I mean, it's what I love about yoga, honestly, is you can really draw from a lot of different ways to come into, you know, being present in the moment. And not all of us reach that in the same way. Some of us need a really vigorous class that makes us sweat and cry. And others of us want to sit quietly. And so there's room for all of that here.
Where is this all happening?
A variety of places. We are actually, we'll be in about 9 different venues in town.
My.
So we'll be taking over the town. We'll be at the the Sundance Event Center, which is at the the Sea Ranch. We'll be at the Surf Sand Ballroom, the Hallmark Resort Ballroom, and the downtown Cannon Beach Chamber Hall, and including the, we also will be at the Elementary School in Cannon Beach and the American Legion, and the list just goes on.
So it really
and my
is.
Studio, and it will be the headquarters. So.
Where is your studio, right?
It's,
in town?
It's right downtown. It's in that great building that's right above the Whitebird Gallery. So I'm up above the Whitebird Gallery, across the street from Bruce's Candy Kitchen.
Easy access, right? That first
it's
entrance.
Wonderful.
And I'm also, again, to show the variety, we have Taoist Vinyasa and Yin Yoga, Lighting the Shadows with Uma Kleppinger. Is that right?
Exactly.
And there's just so many different, and there's also photographs here of the teachers, but also there is a man, I think it's a man, I don't understand how he's doing
Adil.
Oh, that's
amazing.
Adil. Okay.
Yes, he's in sort of a shoulder stand with his legs out to the side. It's really wonderful. It's wonderful.
It takes incredible strength and balance and discipline.
And focus and concentration and all of that.
Yeah.
We also added a program for kids this year, which I'm really excited about. There's a program called Imagination Yoga. Two sisters out of Portland will be coming down and teaching a free children's class that will also then be an accredited program for teachers and parents. So they can also do this workshop that will either let them teach their own children or you can take it back into the school. So they're used to doing those in-service days for teachers.
Excellent.
So, I'm really excited about adding that element to the program as well.
Wow. This is growing and maturing.
It is.
And definitely part of our community. So the Cannon Beach Yoga Festival, March 1 through 3, that's next weekend. March 1st is a week from today. And check out CannonBeachYogaFestival.com and find out what part of this fabulous festival you can and want to take part in. Kristen,
thank you so much
for doing this and for coming up and telling us about it.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm just very impressed because, the show that was just on E-Town brings in people and it says, and we all know this, it takes someone, many of us may have this idea, but it takes an advocate, someone who really believes and is willing to do the work. And you're the person in this case.
Thank you.
So I know you get lots of help, but
I do. And it really does take a village, honestly, too. And Cannon Beach is beyond helpful and supportive in making this happen.
Great.
So I'm incredibly grateful to that.
Bravo, Cannon Beach, too, for supporting this kind of program in the arts.
And, thank you.
Okay. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. And that is next weekend. So you do have time to check out the website, Cannon Beach Yoga Festival, and find out where you fit in. I have some music for something that's going on this weekend, and we spoke to them last week. We spoke to Ruth Johnson about the Seaside Jazz Festival that is starting right now, or maybe I'm not sure if it's 3 or 4 o'clock, but it's in Seaside. Go to the convention center. They have 12 bands. Actually, they had a pre-festival gig last night, but today starts the whole weekend, and it's 12 bands in 5 venues, and you can buy your weekend pass, or again, you can go to various things. So here's a little bit of music from Black Swan with Marilyn Keller. KMUNS Storia, KTCB Tillamook, and we're happy to have you all here. And by the way, the sun did disappear, but it's still beautiful.
They have a new expression, a long old Harlem wave, that tells you when a party is 10 times more than gay. To say that things are jumping leaves not a single doubt that everything is in full swing when you hear somebody shout, "Here, tears, this joint is jumping, it's really jumping. Come in, cats, and check your hats. I mean, the joint is jumping, the piano's thumping, the dancers bumping. This spot is more than hot. In fact, the joint is jumping. Check your weapons at the door. Don't forget to pay your quarter. Burn that leather on the floor. Grab anybody's daughter. The roof is rocking. The neighbor's knocking. We're all bums when the wagon comes. I mean, this joint is jumping. Jumping, it's really jumping. Harry Moses on his toes. Oh man, the joint is jumping. No time for talking, it's time for walking. Rabbit Jug got to hunt the rug. In fact, this joint is jumping. Get your Bigfoot beer and gin. There's plenty in the kitchen. Who's that cat that just came in? Would you look at the way he's switching? Don't mind the hour, Black Swan's in power. I've got bail if we go to jail. Oh man, this joint is jumping. This joint is jumping. It's really jumping. We're all buzz when the wagon comes. Oh yeah, this joint is jumping. No man, don't give your right name.
I love it. Don't give your right name. This joint is jumping, and our joint is jumping too. Again, that was Black Swan, and they are playing at the Seaside Jazz Festival at the Convention Center and other places, and that is happening now, coming up within the hour, maybe started already. I don't have it right in front of me. Going through Sunday, and they are one of 12 bands playing tonight. So my next guests are here, and they're, oh, let me just tell you right now that the bridge, the Megler Bridge, is open. So my second guest might even make it. I don't know for sure, but one of my guests was stuck across the river, so we'll see. I hope so, but I'm glad to hear it because my next guests, well, they're happening across the river on the Washington side at the fabulous Sou'wester, and they're happening. Are you starting tonight, actually?
Tonight, probably that's around 7, we'll start going.
Okay, so you're going to make it. You're
yes,
lucky.
Yes, I'm glad to hear we're going to make it over there.
Me too. So, so what is the story here? You've been calling yourselves an anti-art camp, but I'm hearing about who all is happening, including Dave Archer, my guest, along with Amy, who is the half of the Shane and Amy Bugby team.
That's
such
right.
A great name. You have to say it all together. Are you the ones who were conceived of this anti-art?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Sounds like something Shane would do. Right, Dave?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So tell us about it, and is that just for fun? You're calling it anti-art? Or?
Yeah, I guess it's the anti-establishment art. And so we've got world-famous Dave Archer, and he's going to be painting with his Tesla coil, and from what I understand, letting other people try painting with his Tesla coil.
Oh, that's a little scary, isn't it? So Dave has been here before. Some of you may have heard about him. He's been in the area, and he's been on this show. But most people have no idea what Tesla coil is. So why don't you tell us and give us a little bit of your background?
I started painting with a Tesla coil in 1970.
Tell us what it is, though.
It's a machine that was made by Nikola Tesla at the turn of the century to broadcast electricity to homes so that people could simply plug something in and then they would have power, and it would be unlimited free power. Mm. He ran into trouble with J.P. Morgan, who really didn't like that idea because he couldn't make money off of copper, and ended up penniless, being supported by a hotel in New York. But his great ideas go on, and one of them, I think he would love the fact that I painted with Tesla Energy. What I do is paint on glass. I have a protege now, Brent Durand, who's a young man who's been with me for 5 years. I'm passing the wand on to him. I'm 72. It's time to be a mentor and do the old art world thing where we teach someone else, because he's going to come up with new things. You know, it'll be great.
Is he here this weekend?
Yes, he'll be here.
Oh, he is. He will be too. So is it true that you're going to allow other people to
absolutely,
to try
this? If they want to enjoy it, yeah.
Wow. Is this inside?
Inside.
Or
we'll probably do it inside. It's 1,000,000 volts, but remember, it's 110 volts out of the wall. Then it's boosted to an arc about 3 feet long is the most. I do have a machine that we are going to set up someday that produces a 9 foot long arc. But the art camp for me is really about road stories, because Shane and Amy, I met them. They came to my house on the road. They put me in their book, and that's how our friendship started. And I took off as a young man on the road, hopping freight trains, Jack Kerouac, meet America, go out, make art, And I did it, so it's
did
the
Did you make art in ways other than with the Tesla coil? Or did that that became your signature, though, because didn't you use it in, what was it used
Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Right, right.
They just they're using it in the Janis Joplin play in Hollywood right now.
Oh.
Room 105. Sophie B. Hawkins is singing the part. She knocks it out of the, man, I'm so happy to be part of that.
Oh,
see my
lovely.
Art
of thing.
I got to sit in the theater and watch a guy come out on stage and play me in bed with Janis.
Oh!
And luckily it was a giggle scene. We were giggling. I went, oh, good.
Now, I'm not gonna be indiscreet enough to ask, was it historical fiction or history?
History.
Ooh! Well, that's you can put that on your resume as much as the Tesla coil. This is a family show, however, so we won't go into any detail. But
we were giggling. It was fun.
That's great. That's wonderful. What else is going to be happening this weekend then the festival?
There's a gentleman from Independence Printage coming down from Seattle, and he's going to teach people how to screen print. He does T-shirts and posters and all kinds of art with screen printing. There'll be sculpting. We're going to build a dream machine, which is a device that will spin on a turntable, and you put a light in it and you close your eyes and it gives you these waves that are supposed to stimulate your mind.
The William Burroughs Byron Geisen dream machine from Tangiers and the Beat Hotel.
Exactly.
Wow.
And then I'm going to make pies.
That's the best part.
Now, let me tell you, folks, that's a reason to go, even if you really are anti-art, which this camp obviously isn't.
I just want to say, Shane and Amy went out on the road with $180, and they spent a year out there. And that's what we used to do as Beats. We'd go out with no money. Yep. That's the way the adventure happens.
Yep. Some people are still doing it. I did it in the 60s, but I did it in Europe. Mm-hmm. And the Middle East. So
wonderful.
It's a world.
Exciting.
It's a world that one never loses either once
you never lose
that life. So it's a good one.
And then tomorrow night we'll have music. Dave's brought his what do you call it, Dave?
It's a German monkey organ.
Oh, a hurdy-gurdy.
A hurdy-gurdy kind of thing. And I'm going to play the most acclaimed monkey organ song, William Tell Overture on monkey organ, where they have to punch all these holes in the paper, and it's spectacular. It's thought to be the greatest hole punching monkey organ job ever done on Earth.
And then Roger
Was it done by someone else?
Yeah, in Europe, there's this genius because you have to you turn a crank, but there's a paper roll that goes through, and you have to be kind of a genius to do the William Tell. It's got every note, and there's only 14 pipes. So when he gets this thing going, the audience just goes crazy because it's so amazing that anybody could do
that. And now you're going to do it?
I'm going to play it for him. Yeah.
But you have the...
I have the original roll.
The holes are punched already.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. How fun. Okay. What else do you do, Dave?
We're going to do exquisite... We're going to play Exquisite Corpse, the old surrealist game from Dali and those guys who... you write one word, and then the next person sees that, and then they write a word, and they've done a whole movie that way, a comedy.
Let me remind people where this is, because I'm sure their mouths are watering. This is all happening at the Sou'wester Inn, which is on the in Seaview. It's if you just get to Seaview, and that's on the peninsula, and now that the bridge is open, you can do it. It's 38th Street, basically. You just go down as far as you can go before you get to the sand that takes you to the ocean. And that's the Sou'west of the beautiful old Victorian Lodge, filled with fabulous trailers that Len and Miriam collected, and Tandi and her crew have been cleaning up and fixing and making... just the whole place has just become alive again. It's very exciting.
It's such a magical place.
Oh, could I say about the light? Movie makers love this place because of the key light. They have to work all day to get this little 15 minutes or 20 minutes of light. You know, they wait and wait for it. Out there, you get it all day sometimes.
Ooh.
Bring your digitals because it loves the light. You will never take better pictures.
And you can actually stay out there. They even have, if I'm correct, if it happened, a bunk room. So there are beds for cheap, and it's a great place. So what else is happening, Amy?
Roger Hayes, Astoria's own Roger Hayes, will be performing music Saturday night, and KMUN's own William Hamm will be there offering comedy and sarcasm, as he is wont to do. And, yeah. Shane will be sculpting. It'll be a whole brouhaha of art.
Oh, so. It's fabulous. Of art, not anti-art, but art. It's going to be a blast. So it's starting this evening. And again, you can just...
Goes for a week.
Make your way to Seaview. And if you're on the Astoria side, you can take that Megler Bridge and you will end up, just go to the left and just keep going and you'll get to Seaview. Or you can go up Sandridge Road and cross over. So there are lots of ways to get there, but it's worth getting there. A lot of fun. Did you have a whispering session just now?
Website.
Yeah. If for more information, people can go to USA Odd and click on the blog or the events. And,
USA what?
USA Odd, O-D-D.
Odd?
.com.
Are you from the Midwest or something? Odd?
Yes,
odd.
I'm from Chicago.
Oh, I see. That's why. Odd. USA Odd.com?
.com.
Okay.
And there's more information there about all the stuff going on.
Excellent. Well, it sounds terrific. And thank you so much for continuing to come visit. Dave, do you have a home somewhere or are you always on the
road? I live in Roseburg.
Oh, you do?
I moved from California. I shut down a 5,000 square foot studio to come and nurse my mother for 2 years. Okay. Decided to stay.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, Oregon.
My dream was always to live in the country.
All right. Well, we're glad you're close enough by so that you come visit us. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank
and Amy
you.
And Shane out there, thanks for putting this on. And again, it is starting tonight, and you can be part of it. Thanks.
Thank you,
okay,
Carol.
You bet.
Thank you.
And I do want to mention that Arts Live and Local is brought to you by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, in part wholesaling fresh roasted coffee since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the Old Finnish Meat Market, with Three Cups Coffee House up front. And there is espresso and coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi, and gifts open every day. There's a little Tom Rigney and Flambeau. They're also from the Seaside Jazz Festival. It's a very diverse festival, so check it out. That's starting tonight also in Seaside. And then we've got Fisher Poet coming up and Fisher Author.
not far off the coast of Nova Scotia. Corinthian lay in the fog. No sign of the coming disaster. A young sailor wrote in his log. They were aft on the nets, slowly hauling. At the bow did his grandfather stand. The captain gave signals and warnings, but destiny heeds no command. Oh, a freighter hit Corinthian and cut her right in two. Six fishermen were lost that day, it was more than half the crew. And among them was his grandpa, who was killed before he knew if the good Lord let his grandson make it through. Sailed out of Gloucester, where fate is the fisherman's friend. Just one of a thousand disasters, the faithful abide till the end. The Corinthian met with ill fortune in the fog half a century ago. But Gloucester will honor forever the men who were lost down below. A freighter hit Corinthian and cut her right in two. Six fishermen were lost that day, it was more than half the crew. And among them was his grandpa, who was killed before he knew if the good Lord let his grandson make it through. Oh, rest your soul. Your grandson made it home, he made it home. Your name is on the monument. Your love for him is known. A freighter hit Corinthian and cut her right in two. Six fishermen were lost that day. It was more than half the crew.
And among them, well, you're listening to an amazing song by the Souls of the Sea. And if you were lucky, you heard them live this morning on Albert's folk show. Or perhaps you heard them last night live at Clemente's. And you can hear them live right here in Astoria during the Fisher Poets Gathering, which begins tonight, actually very shortly. And if you aren't here, for example, if you happen to be in Boutelier's Point or Halifax, you can tune in. I know it's the middle of the night or late, but you can tune in at coastradio.com, .org, which is where you're listening to us right now, I know. So that goes out to my friend Carol and to all the Fisher people who are here and to all those who are still alive and well and to those who have lost their lives. And I have several guests. My first guest is someone who has written about, we've just been making all kinds of connections here, I must say, but Abigail Culkin has written about another tragedy. But I haven't read the book yet, so I'm looking forward to knowing, because part of that, it's the Garibaldi fishing accident, which is Garibaldi right here on the Oregon coast. People I'm sure people down the coast as well as in Astoria know about this. But you also mentioned the U.S. Coast Guard Rescue, which sounds promising. So I'm hopeful. The name of the book is The Night Orion Fell, and it was just published last year. Is that right?
Correct.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Is this your first book, though?
Seventh.
I suspected as much, yes. Okay, first, before we even get to this, I also have Tella Adson. Okay, Tella is here, and she is going to be talking to us. She is part of the Fisher Poets Gathering as well. And we just established, I checked Tella's website last night, and I saw she gave a tribute to Nova Scotia. So I sent it to Nova Scotia, and now we come back, and it turns out that your relatives, Abigail, are from Nova Scotia?
Right. Half my family is from Nova Scotia. And Truro, Halifax, Lunenburg, Mahone Bay, Wolfville.
How long were they there? Where did they come from? Scotland?
They came from England? Ireland and Wales and Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there in the early 1700s.
Oh, my goodness.
And
oh, my
still,
goodness.
And still there.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Framingham Center, Massachusetts, okay. And then also in Greenwich Village New York City.
Okay. So let's have a little bit of your background, because I have that you are from Gustavus, Alaska.
Right.
That's far from Greenwich Village or Framingham.
It's probably farther from Greenwich Village than it is from Framingham.
That's true. Culturally speaking, yes. So how did all this happen? What's going on here?
Let's make a long story very short. Who am I?
I know you have a PhD. I don't even know in what, so tell us.
My husband and I were living in Topeka, Kansas, and we got robbed one time too many.
Mm.
And our son was living in Gustavus and had bought a piece of property up there, talked me into buying a piece of property up there.
We know how that goes.
And when we got robbed the last time, my husband said, "That's it. We're moving. We're going to Gustavus.
Now,
it's off the road system."
Why did your son go up there? What was that?
Oh, he went up as a summer job working at Glacier Bay National Park.
Okay.
So that's how he got there.
So you moved, and how long ago was that?
16 years ago.
Okay. Now, what is your field?
May I have several?
I'm thinking so. Yes.
I have been a public school principal for 20 years. I'm also a school psychologist and consult on that part-time. And then I write. That's my main focus now. And I write prose, and I write poetry.
So at the gathering, are you going to be reading from your book, or are you doing other stuff as well? Or
I'm not going to be reading from the book this time, because I read from the book the last two times I was here, and it's published. This time I will be reading from a new book that I just started, and which is a collection of stories about commercial fishing and Coast Guard rescues. And then I also will be reading a passage. Excuse me. My great-grandfather and all of his family were seamen out of Lunenburg.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they were basically, I think, you know, one of the big sea captain families, owned the ships, et cetera. And
wow.
So I started a historical novel about him. So I'm going to be reading some portions of the historical novel about him.
Now, you will also be signing books, and that would probably be The Night Orion Fell at Beach Books. In Seaside.
On Monday from 4 to 6 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So folks can catch you there for that. But of course, they can catch you anywhere and hear some of your outrageous stories.
Right.
I did finally get to, I was on the other side of Nova Scotia, Digby.
Right,
I got to Lunenburg.
I've been to Digby.
I got to Lunenburg. So, you know, we've traded back and forth.
Right. Good lobster in Digby.
Yeah. The people I stayed with. Yeah, but we'll talk about that later.
Right.
But anyway, so what do you have there now? Do you have a book with you right now?
I do.
Tell us, is that the book?
The Night Orion Fell.
Tell us about this, because I was not familiar with the Garibaldi fishing accident and the Coast Guard rescue.
My husband and I still own his childhood home in Lakeview, Oregon, which is the opposite corner of the state from here. And I decided that I wanted a room wallpapered. And so I hired a woman through the newspaper, and she came. And the second day she was wallpapering, she said, "Oh, I have to go home because my husband's disabled from a commercial fishing accident and his deckhand was killed." And she just spouted all this stuff off, and he's disabled. And so, and I'll come back and finish, you know, do more on the wallpaper this afternoon. But just to let you know, I have to go home. And she said it about like that. She was very nervous and speaking very rapidly. And I went downstairs and started working on sorting through some other stuff, you know, old family things that my mother had left me. And realized after 45 minutes, I had paid no attention at all to all of this material, some of which involved Nova Scotia. And
because your mind was...
My mind was... I went upstairs. I had given a rough outline to the book, knew the parts that I had no idea what happened, and told her I was interested in writing it.
Wow.
And this was in the morning, and her husband came by and met me after lunch, and he came that evening at 6 o'clock, and I started to interview him.
And when was this?
May of 2003. And it took me at least 2 years to find the Coast Guard. And one of the Coast Guard members who had, it took me 3 years to find him. And he was the one who had saved all of the written and printed information from the incident.
Wow.
That gave me the pieces.
Great.
That tied it all together.
So was he a search and rescue person to begin with, or just he happened to be on the boat that was
sinking? The person who had the information.
Mm-hmm.
He was an enlisted guy, an avionics man. And he was just, because it wasn't, there were no rescue swimmers at that point.
Oh, wow.
But in the net reel, Larry was trapped, and his deckhand had been killed. And so they had to lower somebody to the boat because there was no way to. So they lowered the first guy, John Lutz, to the boat. And he was the one who had saved all the material.
Wow.
So, but I've been in touch with, you know, the pilots and other people and everybody. They've been wonderful.
Well, I was going to say, we have a terrific relationship with our Coast Guard people. We consider them ours, which is why we want the Columbia River to stay free of some of these outrageous projects, because we don't want to militarize the Columbia and take our Coast Guard away from stuff like this. They are amazing search and rescue people. They have done so many jobs.
And yeah, I feel very personal about them. I mean, I realized after a while I was talking to people and they were saying, well, I was referring to them as my pilots and my admiral. People were saying, I don't know what you could...
Hey,
you really want to call him your admiral?
It sounds like something out of Gilbert and Sullivan.
So right.
Let me bring Tella in. And also, I have a third guest here. My originally planned guest, Sharon Hart, got stuck on the other side. So, Sharon, we're glad you're on your way. We'll get you on the radio next year, perhaps. Tell us here, but I enlisted a friend of mine to come in the room with us, because not only is he a radio virgin, but he is a Fisher Poets virgin. And so we love to have newbies here. So Chris Bauer is here, and he's grew up in Wyoming. Am I right?
You're right.
Okay.
Howdy, everyone.
So Chris didn't know he was going to be on radio and hasn't written his first poem yet, but Tella's on it. She's going to inspire him. And I think
we'll
by...
have a little meeting. Take care of it.
Right. So Chris, you have fish, though.
I have fish for the past 6 summers.
For the past 6 summers. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Chignik in Bristol Bay doing seining and gill netting.
Okay. Well, that qualifies you to be here and to write a piece of poetry or prose or just enjoy the weekend. We're delighted you're here.
So, yeah, I am too.
Yeah. So, Tella, what is your story? I saw that you grew up in Wasilla. Now, let's see. That sounds so familiar to many of us.
It didn't used to.
No, it didn't.
I still didn't.
Really? Well, I'm glad you're here to dispel any Wasilla bad vibes.
Well, I got out when I was 7. So
oh, you did?
It didn't stick.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because your parents were veterinarians?
They were veterinarians in a landlocked valley who built a boat. And
wow, they had a dream, didn't they?
They had a dream, and it took 7 years. And when it was done, they sold the vet clinic and launched the boat, and we became fishermen out of Sitka.
Now, Did they grow up in Alaska or no?
No, they were transplants.
Okay. Yeah. I suspected as much because to bring that with you to create the boat in the middle of nowhere. So
yes.
So you were 7 years old and you became a child of the sea, as you say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you still are?
I still am.
So
I took a little sabbatical. I fished from the time I was 7 until I was 21, I think, and trolling and longlining out of Southeast. And when I was 21, I went to grad school and became a social worker, working with Seattle street kids. Mm. And that was wonderful. My kids were great.
Yeah.
The way you guys say, and I say my coasties.
Right.
I say that about my kids,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But when I got burned out, then I needed to go back to the ocean. Mm-hmm. And I needed to go back to fishing to put myself back together. And I haven't been able to leave since.
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to ask. So you are still working. Where do you live?
I'm divided about half the year in Sitka and half the year in Bellingham.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I mentioned that you also, I went to your website and the first thing I saw was the Nova Scotia tribute. So I thought, my God, what's going on there? What was that about, man?
That was just about, you know, whenever, it doesn't matter what side of the coast you're from or what fishery you're in, whenever a boat goes down, every one of us feels that. Mm-hmm. And we mark it, you know, we recognize what the real price of fish is. And, you know, our hearts go out to the families out there.
Yeah. Did you happen to bring a poem with you by
I brought a little bit. You know, I'm not a poet, but I brought a couple paragraphs.
Okay. Mm. So what do you write?
I am writing a memoir about fishing, and I write on my blog, on my website.
Your blog was fascinating, yes.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that. Right. I'm not a blog person, but I got there and got sucked right in, so, yeah. Go ahead.
Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay, all right.
It's a couple of paragraphs, just to, if you want to frame it at all, that would be fine.
Well, one of the other almost tragedies we had was in Southeast was this summer, a boat went down, two guys were in the water, and they were both saved, they both made it, but afterwards, we thought a lot about what that experience had meant to folks in the fleet. And this is a piece of what I wrote about it. At some point, all seafaring people learn a hard truth. The ocean we can't live without doesn't give a rip about us in return. We bury that awareness. If we allowed it too near our surface, we'd never leave the dock. So we submerge it deep in our ocean-craving souls and learn to manage the things we can, maintaining vessels and equipment, training for emergencies, watching the weather and using our best judgment. We approach our work with the confidence that those things will be enough, proud to feed the world, proud of our tough boats, proud of our independence and endurance. We start to imagine we're in control out there. But control is an illusion. When the wind comes up fast and the green water suddenly slams our windows, a different kind of sickness rises in our throats, and we swallow hard.
Ooh, yeah. Now, obviously, I'm sure everyone here can relate to that. So, and the terror that can come up as well. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Abigail, you said this was your 7th book. Had you written about other subjects as well? I suspect.
Right. Special education, 2 novels, 1 contemporary, 1 historical, and then I also write in behavior analysis about helping people change thoughts and feelings.
I bet.
Or deal with thoughts and feelings.
So do you find sometimes you have fisher people coming your way to talk about your world's mix is what I'm wondering.
Well, they do. I mean, I have people in Gustavus who I actually haven't had any. Well, I have, come to think of it. I mean, every person I interviewed for the book has talked to me on some personal level, some more than others, and it has been fascinating. All I thought I was doing was writing a book.
Mm.
You know, that's I mean, not that I'm that naive, but that was a very naive thought to have. And I know these people now much better. Mm-hmm. I know who they are. They've become friends.
Wonderful.
It's just, yeah.
Well, there's so many questions I'd like to ask, including the latest report from Oceana, which says that 30% of the fish that they researched in restaurants, grocery stores, and sushi bars were actually mislabeled. And in sushi bars, the number is 70%. And I was like, oh my God. And this is coming right on the heels of the horse meat versus cow meat, which mm-hmm. for me is moot because I don't eat either of them because one animal is the same as the other. But the idea that people aren't even being told, that's mm-hmm. the bottom line. And it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, here we are. We know our fisher people here this week, and we mm-hmm. know each other, and we know the integrity, the incredible integrity that goes on in this community. So, I'm just wondering whether coming to this festival has had an effect on your writing.
Oh, Tella. Tremendously for me. Just having this group to connect with, and it's been a real gift. It's become the highlight of my year too, and this is only my second year, so
right. All right.
I expect Chris might say the same thing next year.
I think so. Yeah. I think he's gonna catch the bug mm-hmm. once he starts hearing the passion, and mm-hmm. maybe even meet some people that you've run into in Alaska. You never know. Yeah. So mm-hmm. well we only have a couple of minutes left. I'd like to put on a tune by John Broderick and Jay Speakman, two of the movers and shakers of this festival, and thank everyone who's involved, and remind you that you can easily see this, and the website is so simple now, fisherpoets.org, and KMUN is very proud to be helping to sponsor Fisher Poets Gathering this year. We've always supported it big time, but now we're actually official sponsors. And you can tune in from anywhere in the world, 6 to 10 p.m. tonight and tomorrow night, PST, that's Pacific Standard Time, so you figure that out. And tune in and listen. But if you're anywhere in the area, come on down, get yourself a button, support this festival, have a blast, support local businesses, and also go to the Gear Shack, get some of the books. Is your book going to be there?
My book is already there.
It is right. There. Okay, yes. So the Gear mm-hmm. Shack is right on Commercial, and you can't miss it. And tomorrow night there's going to be a silent auction that Ned Heavenrich and friends have put together. Hitchin wasn't enough for him. He jumped right into Fisher Poets. So thank you so much for coming for sharing your lives and your skills, and I'm really looking forward to hearing both of you as part of the gathering. And you too, Chris, you might end up mm-hmm. in the, who knows, you might end up in
the poetry contest tomorrow.
There you go,
that's
open right. mic mm-hmm. or poetry, mm-hmm. one never knows. Let's hear a tune from John and Jay.
Thank you,
and,
Carol.
Thank you. This is the Jew's harp they're on right here.